The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast was made possible by Squarespace, the all-in-one website maker with Cover Pages, a new feature that expresses your ideas with a bold single-page website. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello and welcome to Podcorn, the Guardian's daily-ish waffle about what's going on in the world of film. Joining me today is Benjamin Lee. Ben, how many stars are you going to give yourself today?
Five.
Five-star Ben Lee. In the news, Gods of Egypt, the myth-raiding behemoth from director Alex Proyas, has found itself in an ungodly row after teaser posters for the film showcased the Africa Set Epic's predominantly white cast. The lead is Gerard Butler, who plays the god Set, and our token black deity is Thoth, the god of wisdom, played by Chadwick Boseman. Ben, Ridley Scott faced a similar controversy for his film Exodus: Gods and Kings. Is it worth all the wrath?
I think so. I mean, we were talking the other day about people getting angry about films before seeing them. And I think in some instances, getting angry about, for example, Mariah Carey playing the mayor of the Lego Batman isn't something
you're still furious about that one, by the way.
But this is, I think this is a case of actually knowing enough to get angry. You know, the main stars, yet again, of a film set in Egypt are all incredibly white, and they seem to be spray tanned to make themselves look slightly more ethnic. Mm. So I think there is a reason to get upset. And there's people saying, how can this happen after Exodus? But this is actually, they started filming this in March 2014, so it was actually made before that. It's not an excuse. And I'm pretty sure after Exodus came out, Lionsgate were thinking, fuck. because the response to that is being echoed in this instance too. I think Exodus also had a slightly classy element to it because it was Ridley Scott, whereas this looks a little bit more trashy.
It does. The posters looks like something from the Abu Dhabi Tourism Board.
They're horrible.
Massive, garish, bright colours, and they don't make it look like a classy procedure.
And it's come at a bad time too, because I think Hollywood has slightly tackled diversity when it comes to, you know, African-American actors, but I think they're still struggling with other ethnicities. It's almost like, we've done that, let's just leave everyone else out. And I think they often forget especially this week, there's been Aziz Ansari, who's been talking a lot about it with his show Master of None. He's kind of been coming out and saying that he's been offered mainly roles where he has to do, you know, an Indian accent, because there's not many roles for Indian-Americans and Asian-Americans. And I think this film is going to, I think this early, I think it could really derail it.
Mm. People would come back to you and say it's money, though, and Hollywood only cares about money, and the white actors are the actors that people think bring in the dollars. I mean, I'm not sure that's entirely true anymore, but...
I mean, that's the slightly depressing thing about it. You look at Exodus Gods and Kings' box office, and in the US it wasn't great, but internationally it did quite well because it had Christian Bale and because it had Sigourney Weaver and Ben Kingsley, whoever else in it. And, you know, Ridley Scott's comment at the time, he said it terribly. It was something about, like, if I'd have had Mohammed so-and-so in this, it wouldn't have been the same money.
Yeah.
And it was a crassly worded comment, but depressingly, he might be right. And you do worry if this film didn't have Gerard Butler in, but had an Egyptian actor in. You know, I can't think of someone who would fill that space, who would have a box office appeal as he would. So, you know, I almost hope this doesn't do well to teach them a lesson, but I worry that it might.
Next up, Danny Boyle has said that the slovenly box office for his new film, Steve Jobs, was disappointing and the result of the film going too wide too soon. Boyle's biopic, which stars Michael Fassbender as the Apple co-founder, opened in 2,493 cinemas across the States on October 23rd. It has since dropped to around 400 screens. When it was released wide across America, it didn't really work, so it's retreated back now to the main cities, Boyle told the BBC. Retreated, Ben, I like that. It's kind of like a battlefield out there, isn't it?
Like it ran away, and October has really been a horrific bloodbath of the box office. We've spoken about it quite a bit, and I think one of the problems is that films are going too wide. I mean, Steve Jobs was released in four cinemas, I think, first off, and the screen average was incredible, so they got really excited about it. But they went from four to, you know, like you said,
2,493,
which is a massive leap. And again, it's sort of, I feel like studios aren't really aware of what audiences are looking for at the moment. I don't think there was ever going to be an audience that big for a film such as Steve Jobs. People know who he is, but you know, if you watch the film, the main conflicts are about very niche technological issues and PR issues. And it's a bit like Burnt going so wide. The biggest conflict in that is Bradley Cooper wanting a third Michelin star. And how is the average cinema goer going to care about these conflicts? Whereas The Martian has Matt Damon stranded in space. That's a conflict that I think people can actually get on board with and care about.
There's also a real irony at work here, right? Because presumably people aren't going to the cinema in the same numbers as they used to because of iPads, iPhones. you know, and this film might be suffering because of that.
That's true, but I mean, this film is, I mean, this year is going to be a record-breaking year, and I think we're going to see, you know, we've also seen Spectre doing really well, yeah. And I think Home Games is going to do really well. I think it's just a disconnect from what people actually want. And when you are going to make a film such as this, I think you have to just be more realistic about who's going to watch it.
And finally, The Big Short stock is rising. The Adam McKay comedy about the men who predicted the 2009 financial crisis is being called entertaining, enlightening, infuriating, that's the rap, and rollicking, that's Screen Daily. Rollicking, Ben, good for the poster. And it stars, deep breath, Steve Carell, Brad Pitt, Christian Bale, Ryan Gosling, Marissa Tomei, and Selena Gomez. And it's based on the book by Moneyball author Michael Lewis. Ben, it's an unusual move for Adam McKay, this. He's known for Anchorman and Step Brothers, amongst others.
Yeah, there's been a big question mark over it because it was only really announced as part of the Oscar season, I think about a month or so ago, and then added to the AFI Festival. And the trailer, I thought, was really broad and unappealing.
It looks kind of rote, doesn't it? It didn't really look that interesting.
And the poster is equally bad, so I wasn't expecting much out of it. But from what I've read, it sounds like a really interesting, quite sour comedy. Mm. And from some of the reviews, they're saying it's quite educational about the financial crisis, and also it gives you this kind of depressing feeling leaving the cinema, as thinking that these people are still among us, the people who have profited off other people's financial crises. So I am interested that, you know, a film such as this is being released. I'm still going back to our question about who's going to watch it. I'm worried that the starry cast aren't going to make a wide audience want to see a film such as this.
It is potentially the kind of film that could come in late to an Oscar race and do quite well, though. It reminds me of something like The Departed, with a similarly starry cast, and that kind of idea that it's a thriller that's not supposed to be taken completely seriously. There is a kind of comedic, acrid edge to it as well.
I haven't seen the film, so I can't comment on it, but what I have heard is there's no real, you know, it's a comedy. I think there's one tweet said it, I think it was a comedy for the first 100 minutes. The last 20 minutes is like an inside job style, kind of like gut punch, because it really throws out what's happened. And you do worry that sometimes when a film does that, if it's a little bit too real or too dark without any lightness, it can kind of upset the Academy.
The Big Short, out in the US on December the 11th, and I'm sure we'll get our chance to see it eventually. That's it for today. On the site right now, we have Peter Bradshaw explaining why the re-released Laurel and Hardy comedies Music Box and Blockheads are a fine mess worth getting into. Ben Child's piece on the 10 things we learnt about The Force Awakens from the new Entertainment Weekly Star Wars special. And consider Ben's Brill blog on the self-promoting print ads in Hollywood's trade papers. Cheers for listening. Have a good weekend. The podcast that is crazy enough to think it can change the world is the podcast that does. Bye.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.